the one thing that does concern me, and I know concerns a lot of people out there, so I do have to bring it up, which is Neuralink.
Sure.
So firstly, can you explain what Neuralink is and what the goal of it is?
We put a chip in your brain to control your mind. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Concerns not alleviated.
Yeah, there you go. Jump right in. Yeah. Step right up. Who wants one? So Neuralink, you'll be able to see.
SJ Welfare.com Final Days Report, episode 373. Let's cover a bunch of news on how they're priming us for civil war, chaos. I don't care who wins the election. They have us ready to ignite. And I think it'll be mind controlism, optogenetics tech that they'll be able to do this with. We're going to cover the third assassination attempt, supposedly on Trump, and how that just smells to high heaven. We're getting played in a big time wrestling match. Now, before we dive deep, I was gone for a week. I actually went down to help a family member fix their trailer in their retirement community. That's about an hour south of Tampa with a Hurricane Milton. And it could have been much worse. Many people lost their roofs. There was sheet metal everywhere. A couple people still don't have electricity. This 93-year-old woman who lives in this retirement community does not have power. But it was just nice to see the people that are down there coming together, helping, giving water, tarps. I'm glad we went down to help fix the property of my family member because they had six holes in their roof. It looked like something major hit their roof, a huge dent. And that would have been a mess. The front of their soffit blew off. So it was very, very rewarding to, one, see the damage, and it could have been so much worse. What I saw, and granted, this was an hour south of Tampa. A lot of blown out signs, fences, some down trees. My understanding, Anna Marie Island, which is their closest beach, was hit pretty hard. So pray for those victims. But we need to stand together. The lesson I learned is just that seeing community, seeing people help each other. This 93-year-old woman that didn't have electricity, people ran electricity to her once they picked up their own electricity. So we're going to be facing this. And I think this is in Scripture in Revelation 12, as I've mentioned, about Satan using the weather to drown out people. But God basically takes the water in. And again, that hurricane was coming in strong, and it lost a lot of power once it hit landfall. So praise the Lord. All right, the first story I want to cover, I find this absolutely disturbing. I think they're scrubbing history. a lot of articles that I cannot find on the internet that I think have been scrubbed, I will find them in the Wayback Machine, the Internet Archive. And get this, the Internet Archive recently suffered a major attack and they're blaming this pro-Palestinian hacktivist group. Really? I think they're scrubbing history. This is 1984. This is 1984. And just a classic example, I remember reading this report years ago during my wake-up journey that I covered in a previous podcast of weather as a force multiplier owning the weather in 2025. I pulled this PDF off of the Internet Archive. And I made the point that within this 1996 study, this presentation to the Air Force owning the weather by 2025, they actually have weather intervention techniques. Some intervention tools exist today and others may be developed and refined in the future. So anybody that says weather modification doesn't exist, manipulation, is foolish. They do it in Dubai all the time. Give me a break. But here's where it gets interesting. This is this divide and conquer. This is trying to promote ID 2020 to stop bullying. Meteorologists respond to backlash, death threats over claims that Helene, Milton were man-made hurricanes. We know they can manipulate the weather. This fact that carbon dioxide is something you exhale. The Club of Rome has it in their strategy to eliminate you, to control you. It's eugenics. It's a land grab. I don't know what else to say. But articles like this, I read the entire article. A lot of people are just pushing back on tweets, on X. I mean... Interesting time, my friends. And now this is the thing that many truthers already covered, is the U.S. military now authorized to kill Americans on U.S. soil. And I don't care what side you're on. This is scary. If Trump wins, he's talked about being aggressive against his enemies. And you know, if Kamala Harris wins, it's going to get crazy. Where did those 1.3, 1.5 billion hollow point bullets go from Department of Homeland Security? Borders wide open. No matter who wins, you're going to have drama. And I think they're going to help raise this drama on both sides with those that have been poisoned, poked with their optogenetics, mind controlism technology that happened with Crimson Mist in Rwanda that we've always covered. Now, here we go. U.S. military now authorized to kill Americans on U.S. soil. This should give you chills. The history of my family from Russia, I've talked about this before, is my great-grandfather was a minister and sent to Siberia by Lenin. So my family's been persecuted and murdered. But let's read. Just ahead, intriguingly, of the November elections, the U.S. military has granted itself permission to unleash lethal force on civilian population in cases of national security emergency. So think about that January 6th scam, that trap. Don't stay away from all of this, is my advice, my friends. Let's continue from Zero Hedge. As the U.S. prepares for one of the most controversial and closely watched elections in its history, I think Trump is way ahead, personally. A concerning update to DoD Directive 5240.01 has quietly been put into effect, reissued on September 27th, 2024. This directive governs the Department of Defense intelligence activities and now includes provisions authorizing lethal force in certain circumstances when assisting civilian law enforcement. Think of the civilian law enforcement that are Freemasons, that if they get up to the top level, worship Lucifer. While the directive forbids assassination, it opens the door to lethal interventions under national security conditions. This reminds me of the zombie drills that we saw. Can they flick a switch with this nanotech that we've covered? Probably 40% of our ministry's podcasts have been on the nanotech and this mind controlism tech, this wireless body area network, turning you into an antenna, hearing your thoughts. I'm telling you, this is Operation Crimson Mist. Mind controlism. And you need to think about how they've been vilifying the right. They've been vilifying constitutionalists. They've been vilifying people that don't want immigration. They've been vilifying veterans. They've been vilifying Christians under hate speech. It's a wicked, wicked time, my friends. Pray, pray. Get in your prayer closets. And also be a worthy bride. Don't be lukewarm. Have a relationship with Christ. Have him be your best friend. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Here's the other PSYOP that I saw. And we know there's been a war on militias, especially after Oklahoma City, that bombing. That's when I first started waking up as a young man. I remember somebody had a copy of local news saying that they found sticks of dynamites in the building. But we all thought Oklahoma City blew up with fertilizer. That was the story that we were told. And you have to remember, Oklahoma City basically happened because the government murdered the family of Ruby Ridge. Do your research there. And they murdered the cult in Waco, the women and children of Waco. They could have arrested that leader while he went shopping, but they needed to make a grandstand. Wickedness, my friends. I have some leftist friends who think militias are evil. And I'm like, militias are there to protect you. Wake up. But here's the headline. Armed militia hunting, the word hunting, hunting FEMA causes hurricane responders to evacuate. I just saw some other videos of people in the area said this is a bunch of baloney. We know FEMA is there to steal land. They can control the weather. We've proven that in the last 3 to 4 podcasts. I just read a report saying they can control the weather. Look up Operation Popeye in Vietnam. They go in and they buy out the land, suppress the prices. It's a land grab. And we know, we've covered it, many people have covered it, that this is a lithium-rich area. My question, too, to the right, what if Trump wins? He said he's going to go after his enemies very, very hard. This DOD means to kill, how could that apply to Trump? You just have to ask the question, my friends. It's not always one-sided. Let's let Reese tell the story here.
Government officials are threatening to not certify a Trump 2024 win.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress, so it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the 9 justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job.
Effective on September 27th, 2024, DOD Directive 5240.01 states in Section 3.3 that defense intelligence components may provide personnel to assist a federal department or agency, including a federal law enforcement agency or a state or local law enforcement agency, when lives are in danger. Authorization for lethal force simply requires the approval of the Secretary of Defense and would provide assistance in responding with assets with potential for lethality or any situation in which it is reasonably foreseeable that providing the requested assistance may involve the use of force that is likely to result in lethal force, including death or serious bodily injury. This could include another protest over rigged elections or another fake pandemic.
U.S. military now is authorized to kill Americans on U.S. soil. Mm. Send in the troops. We need you to shoot a couple of these people. Yeah. They're opposing our policies. They're demonstrating against COVID rules or something they'll come up with. So I think it's very, very dangerous. And hopefully people wake up. Maybe people will say, well, this was just a political stunt for the campaign or something like that to act tough. But I tell you what, sometimes they come up and nobody warned us that they were going to do this. It wasn't discussed in the Congress, and it's been sitting there. The main thing that most people should have known about is that you're supposed to use the federal military to enforce laws.
It is important to remember that the military follows orders. The U.S. Army Delta Force, who were involved with murdering American women and children at Waco, were all in with helping the Justice Department in going after protesters during the WTO protests in Seattle. Joe Biden says he expects violence after the election, and he recently extended the national emergency declared on September 12, 2018, to continue beyond the 2024 election. With respect to the threat of foreign interference in or undermining public confidence in United States elections. A recent article published by AP stated that the number one predictor of being classified as a mass casualty offender was having a U.S. military background, and falsely claimed that since 2017, nearly 100 people have been killed or injured by U.S. veterans. The demonization of U.S. patriots has been going on for decades. Just as government agencies were behind orchestrating the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot on January 6th, they were behind the Oklahoma City bombing. After 9/11, the Patriot Act redefined domestic terrorism to include those who attempt to influence government policy by intimidation, but did not define what exactly intimidation means. In 2009, Homeland Security issued a report that listed returning Afghanistan and Iraq military vets as potential terrorist risks, and that right-wing extremism may include groups opposed to abortion and immigration. A leaked bulletin from the U.S. Coast Guard described militia members and patriots as white supremacists and potential terrorists. The Department of Justice released a memo saying that people who have conspiracy theories that the CIA arranged for 9/11 to legitimize the invasion of foreign lands need to be considered as potential terrorists. This has been brewing for decades, and it appears that the stage is now being set for rounding up those who seek to preserve the U.S. Constitution. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
My YouTube channels have been basically canceled, and there's a thing called strikes, and it was kind of funny. I won a strike appeal where I showed CNN walking up to the Pentagon and saying, with the big hole, I don't see any evidence of a plane. So all I put was, where's the plane that hit the Pentagon? A plane didn't hit the Pentagon. Day before, Rumsfeld said, hey, we're missing trillions of dollars. And it just so happened that the accounting section of the Pentagon was hit or blew up. Can't make this stuff up. And no, buildings don't free fall. So my question is, what if Trump wins and he uses this directive to go after his enemies? What if he goes after those people that are protesting the Gaza genocide? I mean, you have to ask the question. Something that happened while I was gone helping out with the hurricane cleanup from Milton was another attempt on Trump. To me, this screams PSYOP. This is a complicated story that has many twists and turns. And depending upon if you're on the right, you get a certain point of view. And if you're on the left, you get a certain point of view. I think this is all big time wrestling. This is a show. So the story was, this man had a bunch of guns, illegal paperwork, labeled a sovereign citizen. So it's a war against guns. And remember, Trump said, take the guns first, due process second. It's a war on the sovereign citizen movement. And I've met some of these people. They don't even like the word citizen, because citizen, they've told me, means slave. Sovereign citizens have been linked to Christians. And again, this is an end of days news ministry. I've had multiple dreams where I saw Christians living in cars, living in the fields, just not partaking partaking in this Mark of the Beast system. I don't think you're going to be raptured out of here. I'm a post-trib rapture person. So the left is saying the right is arming themselves to protect Trump. It's this Trump army that has to be dealt with, setting us up, as we just mentioned, for the military to take out the right. And the right says they're trying to kill our president. I mean, so it just smells. Tax illegal IDs for ID 2020, attacks guns, it attacks patriots by the left, and it basically creates hate from the right. It's a multifaceted story. But let's play this if you haven't seen what took place.
Investigators are looking into 49-year-old Vem Miller. He was taken into custody Saturday at a security checkpoint near the Trump rally. In Miller's car, Riverside County Sheriff's deputies found a loaded handgun, shotgun, ammunition, and fake documents, including passports. They say the inside of his car was in disarray and that he had a fake license plate. Miller told deputies he was a journalist, but it's unclear if he had credentials. He's charged with two misdemeanor gun offenses and was released on $5,000 bail. He's described as being part of a group called Sovereign Citizens, which doesn't believe in the authority of federal government.
If you're asking me right now, I probably did have deputies that prevented the third assassination attempt. If we are that politically lost, that we have lost sight of common sense and reality and reason, that we can't say that, holy crap, what did he show up with all of that stuff for and loaded guns, and I'm going to be accused of being dramatic? We have a serious, serious problem in this country.
As of now, investigators say there is no evidence of Miller making threats against the former president. A reporter at the press conference told the sheriff she'd talked to Miller. He told her the accusations aren't true and suggested he was a Trump supporter. Election documents show he ran for office in Nevada as a Republican. And of course, law enforcement is on heightened alert after multiple incidents this year. Last month, a suspect was indicted after he allegedly staked out Trump in Florida. And roughly 3 months ago, Trump was shot in the ear during an assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. The suspect in this case will face a judge in January.
And Trump's ear magically healed. Now, a sovereign citizen, this is what definition is, a member of a political movement of people who oppose taxation, question the legitimacy of government, and believe that they are not subject to the law. What this doesn't tell you is the whole Social Security scam, right? Your straw man, the people that I've met that are sovereign citizens, and again, they don't like to be called citizens. They'll talk about the corporation of the United States. It's a corporation. The Federal Reserve Bank is a private bank. They know it's a scam. They know your straw man is set up with your Social Security card. But let's continue. FBI calls the group anti-government extremist, who maintain that while they physically reside in this country, they remain separate or sovereign from the United States. In addition to trying to flout taxes in the court system, the FBI noted sovereign citizens are particularly opposed to traffic stops. I met a sovereign citizen guy that actually spent, I can't remember the exact number, but 6-7 days in jail, and he knew his rights, and they just let him go. He had to spend time in jail, but never was prosecuted. He just knew his rights. Modern day outlaws, sovereign citizens threaten the rule of law, right? The war on sovereign citizens. Now, here's where this is just interesting. Here's the guy that they arrested. But look, he's with Jordan Peterson. He's with a guy that I think works with Turning Point. He's just with a lot of the so-called truth movement players. But I want to call out Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson is just an interesting guy. And I think he's helped bring some people to Christianity. But he's a player, my friends. I cringed when I saw him in an interview covering up for the McMartin satanic pedo network that happened in the 80s. I remember following that as a kid. So Peterson, 59, this is from the New York Post, Peterson, 59, described it as a sociological contagion, comparing it to satanic ritual abuse accusations that emerged in daycares in the 1980s. He's talking about transgenderism. So his role appears to be saying, this satanic ritual abuse doesn't happen. I know a psychologist who's had a couple satanic ritual abuse victims that have told me horror stories. So what I'm going to do at the end of this video is I'm going to play a compilation of Ted Gunderson investigating the McMartin case. Just a bunch of different videos. He investigated the Franklin cover-up where they were taking boys, this boy school out of Nebraska, and sending them to the White House, and that was under Bush. And then McMartin was more preschool kids. It's satanic, my friends. These Satanists want to abuse children. They want to split their personalities, make them Manchurian candidates, and then sacrifice their blood for their rituals. They have to do a 180. Christ was perfect. He was the ultimate sacrifice. So when they sacrifice babies, right, they don't have sin as their thought process. So again, we'll play Ted Gunderson, I think it's 20, 30 minutes of a compilation of his videos, mostly in the McMartin case. And we've covered Laura Silsby stealing 33 kids out of Haiti. And I played a video where this really seedy lawyer that was involved in human trafficking and arrested got help get her out along with the Clintons. So you're talking demons. Pray against this. Pray this wicked network is disbanded, judgment happens, or that they come to Christ. A lot of these people that are involved in this are victims themselves. They probably had pedophilia, incest against them, and then it becomes this full circle. That is the only place where I feel sorry for some of these wicked, wicked people, that it probably happened to them and their families. Now, the big picture of this entire divide and conquer, this entire psyop of the sovereign citizen, of FEMA being attacked by militia, hunted down, I think the headline said, the weather weapon threats against meteorologists, all of this, all of these psyops is to put you in corners, right versus left. And then when this drama happens with a selection, no matter how it goes down, they're going to turn on this mind control tech, my friends. I think I've played all these videos that Reese is going to cover, but he just does such a good job of articulating things quickly. Let's roll it. On mind controlism, optogenetics, and think of this divide and conquer.
A peer-reviewed study published last Friday documented 55 undeclared chemical elements which have been detected in the COVID gene therapy technology from brands Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, CanSino, Sinopharm, and Sputnik V, including several toxic elements such as aluminum, titanium, arsenic, lead, and uranium. The researchers have deduced that the COVID gene therapy technology injections are part of a secret worldwide nanotechnological experimentation program. These crimes against humanity have still gone unanswered, and we do not know what the intended outcome of it all was. So at this point, we can only guess. Optogenetics was selected as Method of the Year in 2010 by Nature Video.
Scientists can switch on cells in this mouse's brain simply by switching on a light. The light activates nerve cells, which make the animal walk in circles. This neat trick is also a powerful new tool. Using light to control the behavior of cells is teaching us about everything from how we wake up to how we learn. This is optogenetics. It's the ability to target specific neurons in living, moving animals that makes this technique so powerful. In this fly, a different light-sensitive system is used to target just 2 out of 200,000 neurons. These neurons govern an escape response, the reflex that makes the fly flee as you move in to swat it. Here, a flash of light activates the neurons, making the fly jump and spread its wings. It can't take off because it's trapped in a petri dish. These mouse heart cells have been engineered to beat in time to pulses of light.
In optogenetics, what we're doing is we're putting molecules that convert light into electricity into neurons, the cells of the brain. Then when we shine light on those neurons, light gets converted to electricity and allows us to turn on or off those cells. The goal here is to find a way to control the electrical activity in some cells and not others in the network. To do that, we had to turn to the natural world. It turns out that throughout all the kingdoms of life, in plants and funguses and bacteria and so on, you can find photosynthetic or photosensory molecules that convert light into electricity. So we borrow these molecules from nature, and then using tricks from the field of gene therapy, we can put them into neurons. Now, these molecules can convert light to electricity, and they do it just in the neurons that we want to control, and not all their neighbors. So we can deliver these molecules to some cells and not others, and then we shine light on the network, we can turn on or off that subset of the cells. If we can turn on or off a set of cells that's embedded within this dense matrix, we can figure out how do they contribute to a behavior. For example, if we can turn on a set of cells, we can figure out what kinds of behaviors can it initiate. If we can turn off a set of cells, then we can delete it momentarily and figure out what it's necessary for. So far, optogenetics has had a lot of impact in the scientific world, but it hasn't been used in any human patients yet. There are a couple of reasons why. One is that it requires a gene therapy to deliver the gene that encodes for these light-activated molecules into the body. Currently in the U.S., there are no FDA-approved gene therapies.
That was the problem 10 years ago, but the COVID-19 plandemic gave these mad scientists an excuse to inject billions of humans with a mysterious cocktail of nanotech. And researchers at La Quinta Columna have pointed out the possible relationship between the injections and the invisible light, which is constantly flashing from our mobile phones. We are told that this is for facial recognition, but how can we trust the official narrative when it's coming from transhumanist mass murderers? Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Rees.
So let's summarize. We have so many psyops that are putting us in different corners. The divide and conquer is really quite amazing. Christians versus atheists, right versus left, black versus right, invaders versus Americans. The list goes on and on and on. Put in the comments all the different ways they divided us. It's hard to count. We need to come together as Americans and know that there's a threat on you. This Ponzi scheme that they've been running is basically running out. I just saw a podcast yesterday. I haven't covered this in probably 3 years, of SV40, that cancer that they put in the polio vaccine. They launched it by design. Cancer exploded. They stifled the Rife machine. They've cured cancer, I'm convinced of it, when you really look at the alternative technologies. But we have all this divide and conquer. So now the DOD can kill you. We see the fake news talking about a war on militias. We see how they're trying to stop bullying and threatening people online with stories about meteorologists getting harassed for weather manipulation. That is a fact. There's been a war on other podcasts about conspiracies. We have to shut down conspiracies. Then all of a sudden, Internet Archive site, the Wayback Machine, gets hacked by a pro-Palestinian group. Really? You honestly believe that? I didn't even cover the story on how there was a second moon. And I actually had people send me pictures of these second moons. There's no way I could verify it. They did look strange. But when you really read the articles, the article said the second moon will be 33 feet. That's code for we're pulling a scam here. Something, testing some technology. Maybe Operation Blue Beam. So we're getting put in corners. Depending upon where the selection nets out, they're going to activate either side. You can see it. Operation Crimson Mist happened in Rwanda that had mind control technology that created a genocide. Arming both sides. Let the drama begin. And personally, I think Trump's up 90-10. I saw a podcast with a statistician who claims Trump's 90-10. Maybe the ratio's not that big, but it's big. Just by observation, driving around liberal cities, you don't see Kamala Harris posters out. 1 in 50, even in liberal areas. But I want to go back to Jordan Peterson and his role linking transgenderism to what he calls the fake satanic panic pedo rings. So I'm going to play Ted Gunderson, 30 minutes or so of a montage. They cut up some of his videos where he covers McMartin case, which is the preschool. He's covered the Finders, which was a CIA human trafficking organization. And then he covers the Franklin cover-up as well, which was more boys flying them to the White House. That was under Bush. This is a right and left thing. It's a honey trap. It's satanic. It's mind control. It's splitting their personalities. And yes, I know psychologists that have told me they have clients that were satanically richly abused. 7, 8, 9 personalities. This stuff's real. Russ Dizdar covered this a lot. God rest his soul. So let's play Ted Gunderson. And my point is, I don't trust the psyop of, in my humble opinion, of the sovereign citizen with guns going after Trump. And then all of a sudden hanging out with all these so-called truther characters. Doesn't pass the sniff test. So don't get caught up in this right-left big-time wrestling event. God bless you.
I was an FBI agent from December 10, 1951 until I retired March 30th, 1979. At the time of my retirement, I was in charge of most of Southern California. I had over 700 personnel under my command, budget of $22.5 million. I had 16 offices that I was responsible for. I had a fantastic career. In the old days, the FBI was a great organization. Unfortunately, as I said a few moments ago, it's been infiltrated by the satanic cult Illuminati movement, as well as other agencies like the NSA and the CIA and so forth. And I'll go more into detail on that in a minute. Are kidnapped and murdered in this country every year. Americans, for the most part, are oblivious to what's really going on behind the scenes. I retired from the FBI March 1979. At that time, I was in charge of the FBI Los Angeles Division. I had more than 700 personnel under my command. And in that particular instance, they were taking children out of foster homes, orphanages, Boys Town. These are 2, 3, and 4-year-old children before they enter kindergarten. In addition, the children claimed that they were flown into the mountains where they were involved with adults in robes, black robes, chanting candles. They talked about the brown babies who were cut up, actually sacrificed, and flying them to Washington, D.C. for sex orgies with prominent people, including congressmen, senators, and certain people in the White House. And the reason the congressmen and the senators vote for these stupid bills is because many of them have been set up and framed through sex and drugs. Satanists want to get their hands on these kids young, when they're real young, right? And by getting them when they're young, they can get them MKUltra mind control program, instill it into the kids. For example, one of the little girls in McMartin case, mother and father both worked. They went into her house, got her kitten, brought her kitten out this is according to little, I talked to a little girl myself, and sacrificed that kitten in front of this other children and said, if you talk, we're going to do this to your brother or to your mother and father. It was satanic all the way, absolutely no question about it. But they want to get their hands and indoctrinate these kids in preschool, 2, 3, 4, 5 years of age. And that's part of the MKUltra mind control program. I happen to know of dependents, military dependent children, who are victims of this. And they may not even realize it. But this is going on. This is going on in America. Wake up, America. There's a book out that really woke me up. And it's called Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr. William Guy Carr was a retired naval commander, Canadian, and he couldn't understand why we had all these wars and all these problems in the world. So he started researching it, and his book really lays it out. And as a matter of fact, on page 26 of that book, Pawns in the Game, it outlines the 25 goals of the Illuminati, which were announced at a conference May the 1st, 1776, by a defrocked priest named Adam Weishaupt in Germany. And these 25 goals included corrupt the youth through sex and drugs, elect your own people to office, meaning the Illuminati, control the media. If you can't elect your own people, put your people in there as agenteurs and agents and advisors. And the list just goes on and on and on. And that list, that 25 goals are right, I'd say right now, about 85% complete. But that was what the book, where I read it in the book, and then that dovetailed into the satanic movement in this country, because Illuminati and Satanism are one and the same as far as I'm concerned. In fact, I've talked to Satanists who have dropped out of the movement, so to speak, or are still victims and on the run, and they've told me, said, we're Illuminati, and there's absolutely no question about it. Illuminati is a satanic organization. And then in further research, it would became apparent that the Illuminati had infiltrated virtually every level of society in our country, and particularly the governments, the various governments, federal, city, state, and on down, city councils, law enforcement, the intelligence community. They have not missed a lick. I mean, the goals were 230-some years ago, and they have advanced. They started out with 2,000 members and leading scientists, businessmen, bankers, and so forth. And look what they've done. And look at the control they have. And, you know, if you want total control, you got to take over the money. And they've taken over the money through the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is not a federal agency. It's a private organization run by the Illuminati. Absolutely no question about it. Well, I can say this without any hesitation. The Illuminati / Satanism is about 1.5% of the population in this country today. That's a lot of people. That's millions of people.
Let's talk about the McMartin case. In April 1985, authorities went to the McMartin case and looked for tunnels under the school. The children had said that they were taken into tunnels under the school. There was a chamber down there. They were sexually molested. That involved ceremonies, adults with robes, candles, chanting. Adults had no clothes on under their robes. And they were taken up into a tunnel and a triplex, a bathroom trap door of the triplex next door. They were taken out in automobiles. We're talking about 2, 3, 4-year-old children, folks, and prostituted in the community. The authorities received this complaint in 1983. They began their investigation. The authorities finally in 85, went out and decided to look for the tunnels because they said the children were hallucinating. The children also said that they were taken by air up into a mountainous area where they were exposed to satanic ceremonies, based on what they described, and brought back in time for the parents to pick up the kids. So the authorities didn't find anything. We're getting off. Pull those next slides. Well, I'll tell you what. In the spring of 1993, I heard that the property of the McMartin School had been sold from the McMartin family to the defense attorney, actually given to him. He didn't make enough off the county. His bill was only $3 million. And from there, he said he was broke and he sold it to a contractor. The contractor was going to build an office building on the space. And I heard that the contractor had this property. And so I went out and contacted him. And I said, dear sir, I would like to have access to that property. He said, I'll give you 2 weeks. I signed a contract, assumed liability, and along with some of the parents, we hired an archaeologist from UCLA, Dr. Gary Stickle, knowing full well that I'm not qualified to say there's tunnels under there, even if I found them. And we began our dig. At the end of 2 weeks, I had to stall, because Dr. Stickle was not quite ready to admit there were tunnels. It took us 34 days. At noon, the 34th day, with the bulldozers, with their motors running, ready to knock the building down, he was going to knock the building down and then build this office building, Dr. Stickle said, you know, I can say without any question right now, there have been tunnels under the school. They were filled in. Now, I'm going to show you the documentation on the tunnels. This is it. No, keep it there. Keep that there. This is the what we found. This is a preliminary report. I have a 186-page scientific report available to you out here if you're interested, by the way. We found a 9-foot-wide subterranean entrance under the west wall of Dog Room. There were 4 classrooms. That was Ray Buckey's room. By the way, Virginia McMartin and Ray Buckey were tried. Virginia, the grandmother, was acquitted. Ray had a hung jury. And we found these tunnels in the middle of the second trial of Ray Buckey. They could have been used to convict him. We called the prosecutor. He sent his investigator out, Mr. Perez. Mr. Perez told me, I don't want you entering in my conversation with the archaeologist. I said, why? He says, you're too argumentative. And I said, well, okay, you go in and talk. I'll just keep my mouth shut. We went in, he talked, and he argued with the archaeologist. Here's an investigator not qualified to talk about tunnels. He said, there aren't any tunnels there, and the archaeologist, of course, argued. But anyway, they didn't use that evidence. Strong evidence in the second trial. They ignored it right in the middle of the second trial. I might mention this. The children identified professional football players, professional baseball players, household name actors, actresses, and the son of the leading politician, not a leading politician, the leading politician in Los Angeles as being perpetrators. Okay, we found an avocado tree root cut on both sides of the entrance, and I'll show you this in just a few minutes. The entrance of the tunnel, as I said, it was 9 feet across the top, and on one side was a live avocado root, on the other side was a dead avocado root. They had to cut that out. We have this, by the way. We found a plastic Disney bag, copyright 1982, about 4.5 feet below the classroom floor, and 3 to 6... inches in from the entrance and under the foundation. Now, the reason that plastic Disney bag is so important is because we think that they filled the tunnel in 1982 when the complaint was initially brought to the attention of the authorities. I said 83, earlier it's 82 when the complaint was made. And when they filled it in, the plastic Disney bag somehow or other flew in there as they were filling it in and nobody noticed it. Now, who says there is no God, right? What documentation, fantastic documentation, that tunnel, the entrance to that tunnel, this is right at the entrance, was filled in 1982 or sometime subsequent to 1982. Mr. Ken Lanning, the outstanding know-it-all FBI expert, behavioral science, says that I took that garbage bag in 1993 out of a trash can and placed it there, that I planted evidence. course, Mr. Lanning says there's no organized satanic movement in this country today. There's only a few dabblers here and there. Thank you, sir. We have another 3 hours to go, okay? Can you hang in there? Okay, the tunnel proceeded south, then 45 feet through classroom 4 and 3 and north, then 10 feet within the classroom 4. The tunnels were 30 inches wide, 44 to 46 inches deep, with the top of the tunnel 30 inches under the classroom floor. The children were able to walk through it. We're talking about young kids now, right? The adults had to stoop down and walk through it, but they could do it. The tunnels were built in kind of a triangular, or I should say a semi-circle type, so that they had natural support, I guess. These people know everything. They're brilliant. The footing between classroom 3 and 4 was arched, for the tunnel passed underneath it, and 12 inches shorter in depth at this location than the same footing 12 feet to the north. I'll show you that in just a minute. That's significant, because the arch was where the tunnel went, and it was arched in that particular location, whereas 12 feet away, it was 12 inches longer or thicker. footing between, let's see. There were four large upright containers were found in the tunnel under the arch, obviously hand-placed. A nine-foot-wide chamber was found along the tunnel across classroom 4. The top of the chamber and the top of sections of the tunnel had layers of plywood covered with tar paper, which had apparently been supported by cinder blocks and 2x2 and 2x4 wooden posts found underneath. Tunnel features made it evident that the tunnels had been hand-dug. The seven-foot tunnel extended into the triplex next door. Tunnel extended from the bathrooms off the office and classroom 1 to the front yard of the triplex next door, front yard concealed from the street by a three-car garage. Children described the entrance and exiting tunnels in the triplex yard exactly where the tunnels and exit were found. A 39 by 41 inch area under a hole cut in this neighbor's bathroom floor had been excavated and subsequently tilled. Now, that was where the kids told us ahead of time that they were taking out up in a trap door in this bathroom. And there was a crawl space in the house about like this, and we got one of our skinny archaeologists to go in there, take pictures. The bathtub protruded underneath the floor of the bathroom. There was a bathroom in the back of the same building in another apartment. It did not protrude there. This was the space we're talking about, 39 by 41 inches. Just enough room for a kid to come up and be taken out. Other significant facts, small white plastic plate with three pentagrams, hand-drawn on the top of the light green paint, was found by the archaeologists. Pentagrams were hand-drawn by an adult and not part of the manufacturer's design. Many other artifacts were found whose analysis will be released upon completion of the test. The analysis has been released. That's the scientific report I told you about. No doorknobs were on classroom 3, only a dead bolt lock. Each classroom had an on and off switch which was labeled fire alarm. The system did not connect to the fire station but was used as an alert within the school if somebody came around. More than 2,000 artifacts were found under the school floor, including over 100 animal bones. Due to the constraints and time constraints and so forth, we had to discontinue the process on noon the 34th day. By the way, this cost us, a lot of people donated their time. It still costs us money. It cost us between $55,000 and $60,000. I personally put in $17,000, which I ended up in many instances paying over a long-term period payment plan. This is a floor plan of the whole lot. And here's the entrance right there. Now here is the tunnel. It came in here, extended here, and here, and here's the chamber across here. We think, but didn't have time to explore this, the tunnel went up here. Now we definitely were able to come up with it here, right here, and it came into the bathroom over here. Okay. There's the entrance. 9 feet across here. I'll show you a diagram in a few minutes. There's the avocado tree. Those roots are live. Over here, we had a dead avocado root. Okay, next. There's a plate that was found in the play yard, buried about 6 inches under the sand, with the pentagram on it. That's right. And here's a diagram of the tunnel. This is the entrance to the tunnel. Now, that's the floor, the footing for the classroom floor. Here's the plastic Disney bag was located right there, partially under the footing and partially out. And this AF means artificial fill. And this was the shape of the entrance. Okay. Here's your diagram. These are your drawings. Artificial fill. Here's the avocado root there. Here's the dead root over there. Distance 120 or 21 inches below and 14 inches below the footing. There's the avocado root there, live avocado root. And these are all diagrams by the archaeologists. Good documentation. They're the roots themselves. That shows you the size, two centimeters. Next. There's the plastic Disney bag. Turn it over. There's the plastic Disney bag. Disney, classroom 82-83. Sandwich bag. It was a sandwich bag. This is shows the arch of the tunnel. Now, the school was built in 1966, which means the foundation was laid then. And here's your arch. And this is from classroom 4 here into classroom 3 over here. And it was 12 inches higher over to the left. Go ahead. There's yours truly looking up. This was in classroom 4, as I recall. And this is where the tunnel extended, right along here. Now, the reason the tunnel's been filled in, you have to understand that. And the reason the archaeologists could say that they were filled in is because the texture of the dirt that had been filled in was different than the natural texture. Okay. Just turn it off for a minute. In addition to the tunnels, I developed information that an abandoned satanic site was in Crestline, California. Crestline, California is in the mountains. The kids said, remember a few minutes ago, they were flown by jet, or flown, they didn't say jet, into the mountains. There's an airport 10 minutes from the McMartin Preschool. It's Hawthorne Airport. There's a landing strip in Crestline. I heard about this abandoned satanic site, and I went up to the site, took pictures. And this is what I, by the way, before I go on with this, I called the prosecutor in the McMartin case. And I told her, hey, I think I know where the children were taken. If they weren't, it's certainly worth looking at. And I will be glad to make this information available to you. And if you want to have the children go up and look at this abandoned satanic site, we can. She said, we're not interested. They weren't interested in hardcore evidence, the tunnel. They weren't interested in this abandoned satanic site. Go ahead. This is what we found, 666, one of the satanic signs. That's a stone on the site. The house had been up here. The day after the McMartin case broke in the news, the house burned to the ground. And it was here. The street's on the other side of the hill. You cannot see the site, this area down in here, from the street. You have to go in, would have had to go in through the house and come down. And this, you can see it's quite elaborate. There's my associate, Judy Hansen, who works with me in L.A. And next. This is looking at the opposite direction of the picture we just took. And you can see there's San Bernardino down in there. And you can see that on the side of a mountain like that, nobody's going to find it unless you fly over with a helicopter. That's probably an altar, flattened stone. Also an altar, another altar that had been broken. This is, of course, you recognize the star. Now, this is a satanic symbol. Put the next one up. Hold the first one. There it is, right there. Put the other first one back on. Now overlay them. Turn it around that way. Okay, any question about that, folks? No. Now let's read what that says. Am's Day. Asmodee, a strong and powerful king, appears with three heads, the first like a bull, the second like a man, the third like a ram. He has a serpent's tail, the web feet of a goose, and he vomits fire. He rides the infernal dragon, carries lance and pennon, and is the chief of the power of Ammon. He must be invoked, be bareheaded, or otherwise he will deceive. He gives the ring of virtues, teaches arithmetic, geometry, and other handicrafts, answers all questions, makes men invisible, indicates the place of concealed treasures, and guards them if within the domain of the Ammon. Oh, what do we got here? Another satanic symbol. You think that wasn't a satanic site? Overlay it. Okay. Is that it? The other way around, isn't it? Yeah. Flip it around. Okay, there you go. Okay, now let's read what that one, what that sign means. That is the seal of Amsmascale. That's the one before. Belial, a mighty king, created next after Lucifer, appears in the form of a beautiful angel seated in a chariot of fire and speaking with a pleasant voice. He fell first amongst the superior angels and went before Michael and other heavenly angels. He distributes preferences of senatorships, causes favors of friends and foes, and gives excellent families. Familiar? He must have offering and sacrifices made to him. Next. And there's another satanic sign. I couldn't make that one out, so I couldn't match it with anything, obviously. Here's some ovens. That was a large, large circle with a number of signs in it, a lot of writing. We couldn't get up high enough that we could take a good picture of it. Next. And let's put that back a minute. That's another case. Okay, nothing came of that. Nobody was interested in an abandoned...